Jamie Nye, Darrell Davis, Belton Johnson with you here on the Green Zone, a pregame show as the Riders take on the BC Lions. Of course, the Riders undefeated, 3-0 to start the season. They were last year as well, got to 4-0 last year. Jake Mayer is in at quarterback. That was a big topic for the head coach.
Let's go!
He's got the answers to the questions you want to know about the green and white. Now, the coach's chair.
As we hear from the head coach in his pregame news conference before a kickoff, and Corey Mace was asked how close Trevor Harris actually was to playing this week.
You know, we did have a long week after the game last week, but just, you know, mapping out the protocol, it just didn't line up, you know. So obviously we've got a lot of confidence in Jake. And we are moving into a bye week as well. So, you know, a lot of things went into it. But, you know, ultimately, you know, with those, you don't really want to risk it. But, you know, there's proper steps to follow. And the timeline just didn't match up.
Getting Jake into that role with his experience as a starter, you must feel that you're still in a good position.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Jake Mayer is our backup quarterback. Like, that's I think anybody would be pretty happy to say that. You know, certainly with his experience within the offense and familiarity with the play caller, you know, he's been tremendous. And getting to sit in the same room with Trevor and seeing the way that Trevor sees things, I think has only been beneficial for Jake as well. I think he's been pretty vocal about that too. So, you know, I know he's excited about the opportunity. Guys are all rallying behind him. He's one of the guys. So nothing changes. We're still going out there trying to win a football game.
Does Coach Mueller have to adapt his play calling because it's Jake instead of Trevor?
I don't think so, man. I think the plan is the plan. And, you know, we got full confidence to have to execute with Jake being back there. And, again, you know, being enough reps in this league, he's faced a lot of teams, a lot of players, a lot of coordinator play, defensive play callers. So he's pretty familiar with stuff. So you don't really have to limit too much or change too much when you got a veteran quarterback in there.
The BC Lions are playing the game time decision game with Nathan Rourke. How much? You're the defensive coordinator. How much does that actually impact your prep week, your prep time on the different options you may face?
There's a reason coaches do it, you know. It's you know, that was just one less night I had to hang with my kids. Appreciate it. No, you have to be prepared for anybody. I mean, even in this situation, you know, you have to be prepared for Bryce as well. So it's just part of doing your due diligence as a coach and being able to have answers for the guys and to have them familiar with potentially who they could be playing against, you know, quarterback or any other position, truthfully, but certainly the quarterback position is an important one. So they've seen tape and we've talked about, you know, all three quarterbacks. So however they choose to lay them out there, the guys will be ready to go.
In preparing for the Lions this year, how much do you go back to Buck tendencies in Winnipeg? Like, how do you balance between what he's doing with new personnel in BC and what he did as the cup play caller in Winnipeg?
Yeah, no, great question. You know, as play callers, sometimes you love stuff that you do, no matter what the personnel is, and then, you know, the good ones will adapt to the players that they have, and I think Buck does a good job of that. So a little bit of both, you know. Certainly, he's been a heck of a play caller for a tremendous amount of years now. You know, and now dealing with a new group and having to install it from scratch. You know, it takes a little bit of time, but you know, watching it, you see flashes. They have certainly really good players to implement the system with. So, you know, it's always a tall task when you know Buck Pierce is calling plays over there for any offense. So, yeah, but you gotta watch a little bit of everything.
Familiarities though?
Yeah, there's some familiarities for sure. Like I said, he does a good job, I think, adapting his play calling to the players that he has. He knows what his strengths are, what the weaknesses are of his offense. He does a good job of that. So we'll see, but you know, sometimes as a play caller, it's really good to be somebody different on a certain game day. You never know, man. So you just kind of got to be ready for it all.
Now, there is Corey Mace, the head coach of the Rough Riders. Says, yes, Buck Pierce in his first year as head coach. He interviewed last season with Corey Mace for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. It felt like it was 1A and 1B. There was some speculation that Buck Pearce actually rejected the Rough Riders' offer. I don't think that was an entirely true, but he was definitely a finalist with Corey Mace. But they went with Corey Mace. Now Buck is in BC. A battle of the great defensive mind that Corey's become and the great offensive mind, Darryl, that Buck Pearce has become in this league.
Yeah, pretty good matchup. They've seen each other a lot. You're right about that last year. It sounded like Buck Pearce kind of, did he reject it? No, I don't think he ever got it offered, Jamie. I think that they were talking about it, and they did discuss the job with Buck Pearce, and he kind of withdrew his name from consideration. The Rough Riders are fine with that. They've got the coach they want, a great coach in their minds anyway, and it worked out pretty well for Buck Pearce as well. He got a job, I'm pretty sure, where he wanted to go as well. So seeing them match up, these are two good coordinators who have proven themselves over the years, won great cups with their respective organizations, and then get the great opportunity to become head coaches, and they're doing a pretty good job. Corey Mace is a little bit further ahead right now because it's his second year. Mm-hmm. It's still Buck Pearce's first year, so Buck Pearce has got some growing pains, and when you watch him coach, it's kind of the things we saw Corey Mace struggle with a little bit last year, just the strategies. You got to mm-hmm. be in charge of everything and realize what's going on. Corey Mace is a year ahead of him, so I think that's a bit of an advantage right now for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Belton, to you on Buck Pearce's offense and adjustments and personnel things, how hard is the first couple of weeks until you truly know what your personnel is on who should be where and what plays should be called in certain scenarios?
Well, I still think it, especially for offense, we all know offense takes a little bit longer mm-hmm. rate than the defense. I feel like it's a good 3 to 4 weeks, right, until the offense could kind of hit their stride and, you know, just the chemistry and everything as well, right? But then they take a hit with the quarterback being out. So, you know, now Mazzoli's in. Now he's got a almost, you know, day one almost again here, right? Even though he's a veteran, he's got experience, Rourke is their guy. It's no ifs, ands, buts about it. And I don't know. We'll see what the chips lay today here.
An oblique injury for Nathan Rourke has him as the third stringer today. He will not play. Probably might not even have his pads on for this one. So Jeremiah Masoli gets the start. But what we do have are two offensive lines who have kept the QB clean this season. Both teams have only allowed two sacks in the first three games of this CFL campaign. Less than one sack per game. But it's Jeremiah Masoli, it's Jake Mayer. So, how many sacks does each offensive line allow today? And who gets it? And when is the first for these ones?
So, how many, right?
How many do they allow, and who gets one?
All right, so I think the Riders are going to get four sacks.
They're going to get four sacks. Who gets one?
Micah Johnson. I don't know. It just every year against BC, he's up the middle. Sucked that away.
When will the first sack happen against the BC Lions? You're going four. My goodness.
Halfway through the first quarter, Jamie.
Okay. So BC Lions, will they get any sacks today on the Riders' offensive line?
I'm thinking three. I think Mayer holds the ball. Like okay. I think he might hold it. I think he might hold on to it.
And who gets one?
For the BC Lions?
Yeah.
Is it Tahima?
Yep.
Yeah. He's like a one of those scrappy guys that I don't like, right? Like
Zione Tahima will get. And when will their first one come against Jake Mayer?
I'm going to go. It'll be the first quarter. And when in the first quarter, about 10 minutes.
All righty. 10 minutes in
yep.
to the first quarter? All yep. righty. Darryl Davis. What do you think? How many Rider sacks do we see today?
Two.
Who gets one?
Ray. Shane Ray.
When's their first one?
Late in the first quarter. 12, 13 minutes into the first quarter.
All righty. And BC Lions, you had Matthew Betts eaten, so are you going to say he gets a sack today?
He gets one of the two as well. And I think that might come early. I think it's midway through the first.
All righty. This Riders offensive line, they'll give up one sack. They'll give up one. I think it'll come up the middle with Marcus Moore in the lineup this week. And he'll get it, I don't know, midway through the third quarter, something like that.
Yeah.
For the Rough Riders.
They're you're right, the offensive line gets a lot of credit, but Trevor Harris gets rid of that football pretty quickly, too.
He does.
I think that has a lot to do with the absence of
different
sacks.
QB, no.
I'm going to go above you, Belton. I'm going to go five sacks for the Rough Riders defensive line today. I think they're going to get after Jeremiah Masoli a lot and not need a lot of blitzes to do it. And I said Carney's going to eat, so I'm going to give him one. Their first sack probably comes in the first drive, 10 minutes in the first quarter for the Rough Riders. There's some bold prediction questions on these two offensive lines going head to head. Only have allowed two sacks in the first three games. Coming up, we have Britton Gray's player profile on Touchdown Tommy. He chatted with Tommy Stevens today. Also, we'll go around the CFL. I wonder if Luke Wilson's name will come up on the Green Zone pregame show, and we'll recap the first two games of the week. Next on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show as we're getting you set for the Riders and the BC Lions at Mosaic Stadium in about a half an hour from now. The Saskatchewan game in honor of the Indigenous community. They'll have their Indigenous logo on the helmets. They're giving away the flags and the buffs as those enter Mosaic Stadium this afternoon. The apparel now is a colored logo with that orange sky and the
beautiful
buffalo. Chris did an amazing job designing the Indigenous logo for the Riders. The BC Lions also with their Indigenous logo on their helmets this afternoon as well. Before kickoff, the 1-2 Lions, the 3-0 Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Each and every week, Britton Gray gives us a player profile interview, and this week he talked to the short yardage quarterback, Tommy Stevens.
Thoughts on how that game went for you? Six carries, 60 yards.
Yeah, it was good. I thought, you know, we did a great job as a unit. Obviously, it starts up front, and I thought those guys did a great job. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, buy-in and execution, which our unit has been, and just got to continue to build on it each week.
What's it like to toss a stiff arm out there on a defender?
It's been a while. You know, it's not really the one that has been the most used in my toolbox, and wasn't even like a point of emphasis. Kind of just happened. So yeah, I mean, it's whatever I can do to hopefully make it more useful next time, stay in balance, maybe score. But yeah, I mean, all in all, it was a pretty good day.
How much did your time in the NFL prepare you for eventually making the jump here? What did you learn there?
Well, I was playing a lot of tight end over there. So, but, you know, just being a part of, you know, those groups with those guys, seeing, you know, overall processes from you know, individuals, I was able to spend a lot of time with a lot of, you know, cool people, obviously. And so, get to see their perspective, and I would say that's probably the biggest thing that I was able to take away from my time up in the NFL.
How much of that time as a tight end prepare you for a short yardage role in the CFL?
I don't know. I'm not really sure how much. I'd tell you this, I didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy playing tight end. It wasn't all that fun for me. It made me realize that I really loved playing quarterback outside of, you know, just football. So, but yeah, maybe the physicality aspect, but I mean, kind of grew up, like I was just saying, in a defensive household, so. I played defense in high school too, so all those things kind of add up.
You have an interesting story. I don't know if it's happening here yet, but Calgary used to play Wild Thing.
Yeah.
Whenever you get a first down, well, how did that start? Yeah. It's a pretty cool story.
So Bo Levi Mitchell actually was the kind of the starter of that. He was the starter of our team at the time, and you know, obviously the movie. I'm blanking on the movie now. Major League, sorry. Was, you know, kind of the idea that they got it from, and you know, I was like, I mean, yeah, I guess. I didn't really think it'd catch on. I didn't really, you know, love it all that much, to be honest with you. And then kind of caught fire, and people loved it, and it is what it is. So, yeah, if they want to do that, if they want to do a different song here, doesn't matter to me. But I do appreciate, you know, obviously the support, and you know, hoping to continue to build on the success that we've had so far.
I think I read Corey Mace texted you asking if they have to do it here.
He did. He did. Yeah, he did. Yeah. And I was like, hey, man, like, really up to you guys. It's, you know, your guys' show. The Wild Thing was never my idea from the first place, but. But yeah, I mean, whatever they want to do.
When you're lining up on a, obviously a non-goal line situation, but Are you thinking, let's get the first down, or are you thinking, let's break one?
Situation is important. You know, if it's, you know, third and a long one, third and two, that would probably more make it a, you know, make sure we get the first situation. I mean, obviously, it's all get the first down, but maybe if it's a second and one, maybe if it's a third and an inch, third and one. Yeah, I mean, we're trying to score. that's kind of the emphasis. I mean, we want to score on those plays because we know that they can be explosive for us. And so, you know, any time that we can put points on is obviously awesome. But obviously, the main priority is to get the first down and keep the offense in the field.
How beneficial is your just your raw size and stuff? I mean, those defensive ends that you're going against, you're probably the same size in a lot of cases.
I'd be lying if I said that it didn't help. I think it's definitely a plus when looking at all things included. But at the end of the day, it all starts up front. It starts with our guys that are on the unit, with the guys buying in two short yards. It's a hard play. It's a physical play. And a lot of people don't want any parts of it, right? And so having guys that are willing to buy in, wanting to be a part of it, obviously is the most important thing. And then, you know, people firing off the ball, being, you know, assignment strong. And doing all the little things is the most important. But at the end of the day, having size does help. So
that is Tommy Stevens. Touchdown, Tommy. You didn't like Tugboat. Burton asked him about that, too.
That's the one you gave him, Tugboat. Yeah, he didn't like that. I heard
he
that.
He doesn't think it's a cool enough vehicle, apparently.
That's what he said.
So
notice he's listed as a third stringer on the depth chart, too, though, right?
Yes, Jack Cohn is listed as the backup. Mm-hmm. I wanted to pick your brain on short yardage.
Yep.
Like you, the offensive linemen like running the ball.
Yeah.
Do you guys like the short yardage play?
I don't mind it. It's just that center and guard, they better get some drive, and let's put it like that, because any little pushback that can hamper the quarterback from, you know, trying to get the first down. So it depends on the situation.
Like as a tackle, what is your job, so to speak? Like, so, what is the mission of an offensive lineman right at that snap?
It's to create that wedge, right? So if I'm at right tackle, I'm stepping with the left foot, trying to cut off who was ever in front of me and just drive that guy off the ball, right? And, you know, again, center, he's the center point, so it's straight ahead for him, the center. The guard is the flexible piece kind of, right? So if the linebacker's kind of right there on the feet, but you want to secure this down guy over the center first before you can get up to that linebacker. And again, the tackle, you cannot get blowed up. Nobody can get blowed up, Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
If one person gets blowed up, their quarterback's not getting the yard. And from what I see from the Riders, they're getting great push because Tommy Stevenson?
Stevens, yeah.
Steven, he's trying to score every time, right? And whether he hits the outside or hurdles to kind of get there.
Why are we seeing, like, we're seeing more and more, right, Darryl? Like
from the outside.
From them going either right or left, but it seems like these short yardage plays are going further away from the center. Like, they like going, trying to push right to the outside now of these short yardage plays than just set hot and you're going through the center guard or guard tackle.
You just heard him in the interview. He's trying to score. That's why. If you're just going through the middle, you're just going for a yard or a couple inches. But if you're going outside, you can spring or bounce off somebody, and away you go.
Well, I was just wondering, like, with his size, is it like, I don't want to go up against the defensive lineman who are over here. I want to go up against the linebacker who's half my size.
And to me, that's what I think it is the further you get to the outside, the lighter the guys are, right? So if you get to that outside edge, even if the tight end or whoever, they get a decent block on a guy like that, Tommy's, his size is going to do the rest. He can move, man.
Mm-hmm. He can. Touchdown, Tommy. Yeah. We'll see if he gets one today.
I don't want to tackle him by myself.
No.
He seems like a fun guy, too. He seems like a cool guy to be around.
Are we going to hear a wild thing or what?
I don't know. I'm paying attention today on that one. Okay, let's go around the CFL. We've talked about Luke Wilson all week. Do we still need to talk about Luke Wilson and the tweet?
I'm tired of Luke Wilson stuff, right? I know Locker's big on Luke Wilson and talking about it. Good, he got us talking about the CFL. That's all I care about. That's good with me.
He got some generating going, didn't he?
That's fine. Yeah, he's got clicks. If that's what he's after, good for him. If he wants us to listen to his suggestions, well, I'll discuss it with anybody. But That's kind of tiresome at the moment.
Yeah. For someone who's claiming he wants to grow the game and then call it hot garbage and junk football, I'm like, that is completely hypocritical to be. I want to be this commissioner, CFL, whatever he wants, and then completely take a dump on a 39-32 game that ended with a kick return touchdown at the end of it.
That was exciting to me, how that game ended. I get the penalty part, right? Yeah. It just slows things down, right? Yep. Like, but that ending?
Yeah. His point, the penalties made that game horrible in a lot of ways, but it was an exciting game in a lot of ways, too. And he, you know, he doesn't like the way the rules work for the NFL, the CFL. Well, he's wrong on that. So he won't discuss it with anybody. He calls you a numpty if you disagree with him, and then he won't come on any radio shows to talk about his point. So I'm tired. Here we are talking about him, wasting our time again.
It's an open invite. But anyways, let's go to two nights ago, Thursday Night Football. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers beat the Edmonton Elks 36-23. That was a 23-23 game until the fourth quarter, and the Bombers put it away. You saw a little bit of the Elks on their run game. They had it going. But Trey Ford as a quarterback in this league is going to be an interesting story to follow, because they're 0-4 again at the start of the season, and they have Cody Fajardo on the sidelines. But Trey's so exciting to watch.
Yes. But here's the problem. Zach Collaros ran for more yards than Trey Ford did in that game. That's the problem.
He only ran once, Trey Ford.
Once for 6 yards. Yeah. Zach Collaros ran a couple of times, at least once for 13, and he scored a touchdown. You don't want Zach Collaros running. He did it, good for him. He did it and scored the touchdown. But you certainly want Trey Ford running the football. How can you call an offense with him in there and only run him one time? That may be part of the problem.
Yeah, you got to let him loose, man. When he's free and loose, that's when he's playing really good.
Yep. Yeah, we'll see what the Elks have in store coming up next week. Meanwhile, the Hamilton Tiger Cats beat up on McLeod Bethel Thompson and the Montreal Alouettes to the tune of 35-17 last night for Hamilton's first win of the season, Montreal's first loss.
You got it right, Jamie. You picked that one.
I did pick that one.
They're not the same team, the Alouettes, without Davis Alexander at quarterback. Well, McLeod Bethel Thompson. Didn't he win a Grey Cup somewhere along the line? But I haven't seen.
Yeah, Chad Kelly had to come into that game and win a Grey Cup that fourth quarter.
Oh, well. There they sit, and they're not the same team without Alexander.
I was surprised on that game.
I looked at it. Hamilton was 3-0 last year. Off of the bye week. And without Davis Alexander, I'm like, I don't see it from McLeod Bethel Thompson. I think Hamilton's a better team than 0-2.
Yeah.
Then you have Toronto, Ottawa tomorrow. We know Drew Brown again, who was injured in week one against Saskatchewan on that Jameer Thurman blitz. He's out, so it's Dustin Crum starting against the Toronto Argonauts. Nick Arbuckle gets another start, as now Ryan Dinwiddie, who didn't cut anybody after he said he would last week.
Man, I had nightmares. When he said, heads are going to roll.
Heads are going to roll, he said,
What, you thought he was going to cut you? Like, come on, Melton.
That was a harsh.
He was angry.
That was in the moment right there, wasn't it, Darryl?
Oh, yeah. I thought he was. Yeah, I didn't think there were going to be guys. I thought he was going to, while they were at home. So I thought there were guys who weren't going to come back to BMO after that.
Yeah, he was. He was not happy.
Doing right, they didn't have us schemed up. They're just playing pitch and catch, and then the penalties. We have more penalty yards than our freaking offense. All right, and they all were selfish ones. So I told those guys, someone's going home tomorrow. Some heads are rolling. I ain't putting up with that stuff no more.
Didn't quite happen that way for Ryan Dinwiddie, but he did announce that Chad Kelly likely won't play, maybe not until week 7, week 8 now. For the Argos starting quarterback. So it looks like more Nick Arbuckle for Toronto.
Gives him more time to do community work, so that's good.
That is mandated community work. 0-3 start for the Argos. I have the Red Blacks winning this game.
Oh, yeah.
Even if it's Dustin Crum.
I think
it might be 0-4 for the Toronto Argonauts.
They've made a lot of changes. That defensive line's gone. Wynton McManus has been hurt, right?
So, he was on the panel last night.
That may be his next career move. So, they're not the same team that managed to piece together a Grey Cup championship last year.
I don't know. I think if the guys got any whiff of that press conference.
But you can't say that and then not do anything.
Yeah, but I'm sure he was out there yapping all wicked practice, Jamie. I'm positive.
We'll see how it looks tomorrow on Canada Day weekend in the Canadian Football League. The Riders and the BC Lions. We're about 15 minutes away from kickoff. Of course, that game is on TSN. Next, we'll go through a roster check and our final score prediction ahead of kickoff at Mosaic Stadium. This is the Green Zone pregame show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. This is the Green Zone pregame show. Before we get to our final prediction and our scores for today's game with the Riders and the BC Lions, we go through a roster check. Let's start on the BC Lions side of things. The big free agent signing, Dejon Allen, right tackle. He's to the six-game injured list. Chris Schluger will start at right tackle today. Anu Una comes in as the seventh offensive lineman for the BC Lions. Meanwhile, wide receiver Seven McGee is on the one-game injured list. Phillip Brooks has been added. Then you got Jonah Tavai. He goes to the one-game injured list. Marcus Moore has been added. Jackson Findlay has been removed to make room for Una when it comes to the BC Lions. For the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, yes, the biggest news of the week has been the Nathan Rourke was a game-time decision. We mentioned this already, I should say. He is not starting. It is Jeremiah Masoli. But Nathan Rourke is listed as the third-string quarterback for this game behind Bryce and Masoli on the depth chart. Now, for the Rough Riders, the big news. Jake Mayer is in for Trevor Harris. One-game injured list. Was it a concussion? Was it an illness? Was it both? He went through concussion protocol. That much we know. And as much we know, he never cleared it. That's why he's not playing today. Even if it was a playoff game, he wouldn't have been able to play because he didn't clear concussion protocol from the hit last week against the Argos. So Malik Straker, the outstanding Canadian special teamer, he is not playing. He's out. So Antoine Brooks Jr., the standout again from training camp and the preseason, he's been added to special teams. They switched up the ratio to put Brooks in for a Canadian. So Caleb Sanders, the American defensive tackle, is out. And Canadian defensive lineman Benoit Marion is on the defensive line rotation. After Brooks has been a standout and a lot of people have been waiting for his debut this season, I asked Corey Mace how excited Antoine is to dress.
He might like it a little bit that he's getting a shot. You know, again, there's so many guys in this building that you just pull for. Brooksy, you know, it hurts me, to be honest, that he's not up every week, man. It's just, it's one of those things. But, you know, he's getting an opportunity. He almost had one earlier in the year. And, you know, those conversations suck to just let them know that, hey, you know, keep chopping wood. But he's going to get an opportunity this week. Man, he's a football player and a great human being. Like, I mean, it just brings energy, makes people laugh across the whole building, man. So excited for him to have an opportunity to go out there and make some plays, be it special teams or defense.
So Antoine Brooks Jr. finally gets to put on the jersey this season, number 33, and he will play on special teams for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. On that note, Belton, I'm interested, mm-hmm. like a guy like Antoine Brooks and Joe Robustelli, and they have good camps and they play well, but, and we heard from James Butler earlier, the ratio is undefeated.
Yeah.
How quickly did you come to understand the ratio as an American going, okay, no, this is why I'm not playing? And is it hard to chew on?
It's very hard to chew on, Jim. Like it actually teed me off sometimes, right? You know, early on, but you know, the ratio, it is what it is and everything. And until you can understand that and, you know, like Coach May said, you know, just keep chopping wood, right? You know, especially with a coach like him, I'm sure he's in Brooks' ear all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, doing good job. You're doing good things. Your time will come. And, hey, he's on the field right now, right?
Yep.
This week.
As is Joe Robustelli the last 2 weeks, moving around, shuffling the deck And when it comes to
one man's opportunity is another man's misfortune.
That's right.
I hear that from that you. Hear that from Richie Hall all the time. So if you're getting an opportunity, it's because somebody else is hurt quite often. But make the most of it because you never know when it can turn your career around.
And especially on on special teams, right?
Like that's where you shine.
We've seen a lot of guys like Jarrell Freeman, and you know those guys come up. And we're talking in the break about Ray Williams.
Yeah.
You know these guys, these Americans, all of a sudden, okay, boom.
That's where they start,
special teams
right?
tackle. Special teams tackle. They're athletes. Yeah. Okay, now how do we keep them off the field? And an opportunity might come, and then all of a sudden, away you go.
That's right.
And they're a starting player in the Canadian Football League. But before we head over to Mosaic Stadium for game day, as kickoff's happening about 15 minutes from now with the Riders and the BC Lions, let's get our final score predictions. Who's gonna win? What's the score gonna be? And how you came up with that, Daryl Davis?
How I came up with it? Is there any logic behind any of these, Jamie? 28-19 for the home team.
28-19 for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. No rhyme or reason on why it's a 9-point win.
I've been watching Jeremiah Mazzoli play badly when he stepped in, and I think that's going to be the difference. That I think Jake Mayer, even though he hasn't played very much, I think that he's going to be a little bit more effective, not hugely effective, but just more effective running the Rough Riders offense.
Belton Johnson, are you going with the Riders or the BC Lions today?
I'm going with the Riders, Jamie.
What's the score?
35-28. And I don't know, the Riders, how have they been the last three games?
I want to know how he got to 28.
But, I mean, the way I look at it is that bend defense, right? Those are
– You heard Jameer Thurman doesn't like bend, don't break, so you call it a bend defense? I like that.
So that's what I think, man, is the Riders, yes, they're at home, but they've been in some close games here. The last three.
Well, I've got the Rough Riders as well, so it's a clean sweep on that one. The Rough Riders win, I'm saying 30-15. No touchdowns, 5 field goals from the BC Lions, as we all believe AJ Olette's going to have a great afternoon, evening, running the football at Mosaic Stadium today. By the way, I just want to put in parentheses, can I get a bonus point if my son gets his score?
I know.
What was his score?
Go ahead and tell us his score.
His score was 39-10 for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders today. I'm just going to put that in parentheses there.
That sounds like a real Rider
fan.
Oh,
man.
He likes AJ Olette too, so if he has a big day, he'll be excited. So I hope everybody enjoys a game day, whether you're watching at home on a TSN and it's on a CTV as well, or, of course, you can join us right here after the game. We'll assess the damage or help you celebrate a victory on the Green Zone post-game show right when that final whistle sounds. We take to the air. Right here, get that number ready, 1-877-332-8255. Enjoy the game. We'll talk to you after it right here on Home of the Fans, the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.